forever.
Hi, Anna.
Hi, Andrew.
And hey, everybody else.
And welcome to our podcast,
Scary Stories to tell on the pod.
It is a podcast about scary stories, urban legends, spooky things that happen that you tell us about, weird little creepy crawly thoughts that you've had or read or seen, a scary soap commercial, a frightening memory of a curtain that wafted in a way that looked like a man. Did your cat walk on its front legs for a long time? You know, all of these things and more. Anything that made you scared but also laugh.
Wow, that's a top 10. That's a top 10 intro for the podcast from me, Anna. A scary soap commercial. Wow.
I think the reason that the intro is so good is because I am having like a really big dual gaze moment right now where I'm listening to everything I'm saying and absolutely hating it, which is not as universal a thing as you'd think. I think a lot of people don't actively boo themselves while they're talking. We'll get to the BetterHelp ads later, but yeah. Everything's fine. I'm closer than ever than having to go live in a women's rest home in the mountains and make macaroni necklaces to send to my family who've told everyone that I'm dead. But other than that,
would you pick for the mountain women's rest home? Would you pick Appalachian or Adirondack?
Not picky at all, but Adirondack for the style of chairs.
Oh, yeah, the chair. I think Appalachian chairs are face down in the dirt, ass up in the air.
Anything that's not a chair is an Appalachian chair.
Oh, boy.
It's disgusting.
Well, welcome, everybody.
Welcome.
It is a Monday.
There's no fighting it. It's a Monday.
First day of March.
Look, Hard. This Monday has a lot not going for it, I'll say that.
That's true. That's true.
This Monday didn't know what was happening. This Monday is like the baby of an affair where it's so innocent and doesn't know, but everyone hates it, you know? And you can't, it's just being itself, but like, man, it's March again, which everyone is going to have a problem with.
I know.
And it's a Monday, which, you know, that little lasagna cat said it famously. I don't like these.
I love lasagna cat. We have not purchased the rights to Garfield, so we will refer him to lasagna cat on this podcast.
Yeah, it's like the big game.
Fittingly, I've picked a story from Alvin Schwartz and Stephen Gamble's Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark that also doesn't really know what it is. This is a story I completely forgot about, and maybe we'll see why.
Okay, great.
The story is The Attic.
Oh.
A man named Rupert lived with his dog in a house deep in the woods. Rupert was a hunter and a trapper. The dog was a big German shepherd named Sam. Rupert had raised Sam from a pup. Almost every morning, Rupert went hunting, and Sam stayed behind and guarded the house. One morning, as Rupert was checking his traps, he got the feeling that something was wrong at home. He hurried back as fast as he could, but when he got there, he found that Sam was missing. He searched the house in the woods nearby, but Sam was nowhere to be seen. He called and he called, but the dog did not answer. For days, Rupert looked for Sam, but he could not find no trace of him. Oh, but he could find no trace of him, I added.
He could not find Sam, no.
Finally, he gave up and went back to his work. But one morning, he heard something moving in the attic. He picked up his gun. Then he thought, I'd better be quiet about this. So he took off his boots, and in his bare feet, he began to climb the attic stairs. He slowly took one step, then another, until at last he reached the attic door. He stood outside listening, but he didn't hear a thing. Then he opened the door, and this wants me to scream in all caps, but I'm just going to say, ah, then parentheses at the bottom. At this point, the storyteller stops, as if he has finished. Then, usually, somebody will ask, why did Rupert scream? The storyteller replies, you'd scream too if you stepped on a nail in your bare feet.
You know what? No. This pisses me off.
I know. This one, I have to say, I'd like to speak to the manager.
Ma'am?
The manager.
I have been shopping at this store for 12 years. I have a store charge card. And I've been a very loyal customer, and I'm not happy, and I'd like to speak to someone who can make it right.
This has a lot of problems, and let's go through them. First of all, twist that a fur trapper's name is Rupert. Can we just say it?
Insane. Rupert, you're in grad school. You're not trapping.
Yeah, Rupert whittles antique doll heads. Let's don't get it yet.
The only thing you're trapping is more student loans.
Then, big German Shepherd named Sam. We're giving the dog a name. So, naturally, we are all, as listeners, attaching emotional connection to this animal, right?
And also, it does the same thing that they did in the Addie Fitch Such Things Happen story, where they say raised from a pup.
Yes.
And Addie Fitch's cat was, her landlord was killed. She said, I raised that cat from a kitten.
Right.
It just, it gives you stakes. It gives you investment in the animal.
Okay. Clearly we're tapping into some, Tailey Poe elements, which is not in the Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark series, but maybe one day we will cover it.
We can breeze past Tailey Poe, but brief description.
Happy to. So Tailey Poe is a hunter who lives along the Appalachian Trail. He has three dogs named, you know, I know, and Come to Co Calico. And a strange critter gets into his cabin one night. He shoots it. He just shoots its tail off. The dogs go chase the thing into the woods. They can't find it. He eats the tail. Then every night the creature comes back and says, like, Tailey Poe, Tailey Poe, give me back my Tailey Poe. But we are eliminating the creepy thing from this story, which is we don't know what kind of sound is happening in the attic. Mm-hmm. It could be a weasel ball. Like, we have no idea what this is.
I don't know.
And so because we have no specific, it makes it – I mean, I guess if you're like an old, old, old person sitting by a fire telling great-grandchildren this story, maybe it has some added allure. But in contrast to the other stories here, this is a Mad Lib of a scary story, I think.
It is. It really is. It does feel sort of like, and I love kids' stories, but mm-hmm. it does feel like it was written by a child because there's no payoff. It sort of does end with a pizza party.
It does, yeah.
Which famously, if kids are making up a story, it's got to end with a pizza party. Otherwise, you know, that's sort of the Shakespearean three weddings and a jig of children. But I want to know where the dog is. I'm sorry. I'm nervous.
I know. I think what this is implying is that probably the dog is fine because it's a joke, scary story.
The dog's in the attic, but it's been like what, a week and a half or how long?
Yeah. I mean, I'm giving it at least a 10 days. Yeah. Because he had to spend some time looking for the dog. He gave up looking for the dog.
Yeah.
I want it to be like, I don't know. What's a fix for this in which the dog is okay?
Rupert has lost his mind and the dog is next to him the whole time. I don't know, but even that's not good. Or the neighbor is June Squibb and she's like, sorry, I struck up a friendship with your animal and I've been feeding him.
Oh, the other version, which is like, it's not really this is more of like a Laura Ingalls Wilder ending, but it's that Sam was a girl and gave birth to puppies up in the attic. You know?
Wait, that's really nice. Did you just make that up?
That just popped into head. I was a big Little House in the Prairie fan. It feels right.
It feels really right. Yeah. I mean, I am going to judge that the dog isn't fixed, but that's, that you know, because I'm the same person who would ask to speak to a manager.
I guess back then, I mean, how did pioneers just didn't you? I imagine it'd be easier to fix a male dog than spay a female dog if you're a pioneer.
Yeah, if you're a pioneer, you just shoot them off. But the issue is that a female dog in heat will attract whatever nearby intact male dog, which is why. It's better, I think more people will spay their dog because
that's true. That is,
and also
wild.
You get stuck with the puppies, and people just love when their dogs have balls. I don't know.
I don't like, knowing that a dog's balls are sitting around my house. I don't know. That feels strange to me.
Oh my God. That's really nice.
Okay. I guess the other issue that I have with this is I think the scream is fun, right? But this is assuming a lot because I'm imagining the many different forms that people – the many different forms of reply that people would have if you just scream apropos of nothing in a scary story. And yes. And I don't know. I don't think the first – I don't think the first question would be like, what happened to Rupert? I think it would be like, and then what? What's going on? You know, like it – the way it, the response it's giving you is geared entirely towards a very specific phrasing of a question.
Yeah, it really is. It like it puts a lot of onus on people. It's like sales tactics where it's like, well, you say it this way and then they'll say this. And it's like, don't just like say what you mean. You know,
that's a good point. That's a very good point.
It's so – I had no memory of this story. I do remember the stepped on a nail in your bare feet. And again, I'd have the same reaction that we've talked about before where like I was reading these stories alone as a child and then it would say, grab your friend. And I'd be like, oh, I don't got that right now. I have a book.
You expect me to socialize and read?
Oh, and Lady Bird is tearing around the room. Lady Bird.
You posted a very funny picture of her recently where she was making some very bizarre face that I'd never seen her make before.
She's been making a lot of new faces, and I don't know if it's that she's cuter or her teeth are falling out or something.
Well, who are we casting for Rupert?
Man. Michael Shannon definitely came to mind.
Oh, yeah, that's fun.
Brendan Gleeson.
Brendan Gleeson, yeah. A big twist. I was thinking Cola Scola might be very fun.
Yes. I love that. They definitely have the range.
We buy that Cola's a fur trapper and is named Rupert. You know what I mean? Because otherwise, I think.
Top to bottom.
Yeah. Otherwise, we're kind of struggling with like, well, who is this person?
No, it all makes sense. I buy that Cole would walk around the house in bare feet.
Yes.
I don't know. That sounded like a loaded thing, but it's sort of like a neutral statement.
Was the Dresden household of shoes off, household or shoes on?
It was shoes off, but not like it wasn't like you have to take your shoes off in the house. It was just like you did.
Yeah.
And like that's why it's weird to me when like Jason or whoever did not like it doesn't take his shoes off in the house.
Yeah.
I just find it to be deeply shocking. What about you?
The farmers, I think we all just pretended we didn't have bodies. So anything like it was, we asked you to put on a second pair of shoes. I mean, it was like, you know.
You were shoes on.
Yeah. Okay. For Sam, the dog.
The dog. Oh, I pictured Harmony, who's Nicole Conlon's dog.
Yes. Yes.
But like a person playing the dog maybe?
Mm-hmm.
Or who are you thinking?
I think Harmony is a great choice because Harmony to me, I always think of Harmony as being like a Sigourney Weaver, like a very sort of serious ethereal dog, but also is like not afraid to speak her mind.
I love that. I think that's really good casting.
I
also pictured Catherine Hahn.
Oh, well.
She's good in everything.
This has been going around on Twitter a lot now where like people are like, give Catherine Hahn more lead roles. And then the response has been like, she's been the head of several things before and is a very established actor. But I do agree. I mean, I do want to see her in more.
Yes. I'm never upset to see her in more.
Oh, no. And then, I mean, there is no, but I guess like what musical artist would we say is the strange noise in the attic?
Oh my God. Is it Grimes?
Oh, Grimes. That's fun. That would be for a fur trapper in the middle of nowhere to hear Grimes in your attic in the middle of the night or the morning. Oh, it's the morning. That's weird.
It's the morning. Oh, a daytime whore.
Daytime whore. Wow. Yeah, that is another big twist here. It's in the a scary morning. Now I'm all out of whack.
It's a gag, you know?
It's a gag. So yeah, everybody, we're as we've mentioned before, we still have some big hitters left in the Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark tome, but now we're starting to get some, maybe some, I don't want to say like second and third tier, which I've said in the past, that's not true, but we're beginning to see some like that we understand why we don't remember them as well, because they are not as specific or evocative as some of the other stories.
Yeah, some randos are coming up.
Some randos are coming up. Anna, we also got an email that I would like to share if possible.
Yeah.
And this is from our friend, Sarah Bradshaw, who we knew from college.
Oh, yeah. Tim Manley's cousin.
Exactly. Hi, Anna and Andrew. I am way behind on Scary Stories episodes because I usually listen to them when taking pandemic walks during my lunch breaks. They make me think less about the fact that I am walking the same streets day in and day out forever, and also make me look like a crazy person laughing to myself as I listen to your podcast. So, I only just listened to the January 25th episode where Anna wishes she had call sheets from Haunting of Hill House or something production related from the show so it would be less scary. I totally feel the same way since I am only on episode 8 of the show and am a complete wimp. While I hope someone else has sent you legit production material since the podcast episode aired, they haven't. I can only send these attached adorable photos from BuzzFeed of the kid who played Little Luke on the show, posing with some of the smiling and cheery ghost actors on the set. I usually cannot handle anything scary, but so far I haven't had any Hill House nightmares, so maybe it is from knowing that these super cute photos are out there in the world. Hope it helps. Wait. All the best, Sarah. I'm going to send you the pictures.
Oh my God!
Sarah,
I'm like okay. I was when I heard it, I was like, Little Luke. Which one was he? It's the boy with the big glasses.
The most adorable child actor
who has a genuine front tooth missing, which I think is fantastic. And he's posing with a woman who is absolutely rotted in the face. They're like she's eating the crew lunch. He definitely got catered. Like, and it's so sweet. She's wearing like a pink dress that's covered in rot, and like he looks thrilled to pieces. He looks like he's with Mickey Mouse. And this believe, if I'm not mistaken, this is the woman who sits in the bed and says she's a liar.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah,
yeah. This is just a picture of me and Chris on our wedding day.
He looks so much like Chris.
I'm a rotten old woman, and
I'm the facili pasta on her plate.
Oh my God. Yeah. Oh, they're eating in the full ghoul makeup. I can't get over this. Wait, fusilli pasta and rice? What is happening here?
I didn't want to call her out because I know some people double carb and it's none of my business, but. And wow. Then it's him with a man who's like burnt so all over his body. I don't know what this ghoul is from, but.
I think this is the man in. Have you seen the first season, Anna? Yes, you have.
Yes.
Yes. This is when the little kid goes into the basement. I think this is the terrifying man in the wall who's crawling towards him.
God, yes. Yeah. And his foot, the one side is charred up. And there's crutches in the background, which I imagine he used to get around.
Yes. This
and
is
he's
wild.
Just a sweet little boy in his like blue pajamas.
I can't
get over
this.
I don't know why the word pajamas is so hard to find. And he is smiling like truly he's with Goofy. And it's really sweet too. I worry, we've talked about this. I worry about kids on film sets in general, but also like scary movies. I'm like, I guess without the score, things are just less scary without music and sound effects. But like, it's nice that he was hanging around with these scary people.
This kid's had a big couple years because has his star turn in WandaVision as well.
He does?
Yeah, he's in WandaVision. Oh. I won't spoil who he is, but he is in it.
Okay, cool. I've seen Kids, but I haven't seen that.
He also was in that movie called Greener Grass with with Beck Bennett. Yeah, it was like a very funny movie.
Oh my God. Yeah. I love Greener Grass so much. I said sure because I was like, I'll remember it by the time I'm done saying sure.
Yes.
But now I got it.
It's like such a fun, surreal comedy. Highly recommend it. I want to look up who.
His name is Julian Hilliard.
Julian. Wow. When a kid, I will say Anna and I are famously against children in film and television, but
children just in general,
but I don't know when you have legitimately those amazing glasses and that missing tooth, I get why, like, you have to share with the world.
Oh yes.
Greener Grass is Jocelyn DeBoer and Don Luby.
Yes.
Ugh, super funny. Best. So Sarah, thank you so much for sending this. This actually really did help tremendously with a lot of my fears concerning the ghosts from Haunting of Hill House, for sure.
Oh, big time. This, it made me feel better. Oh my God, Sarah, thank you so much for this.
What a treat. We're glad we can provide some background music to the long, aimless walks that all of us go on these days.
Of course. Oh my God. I want to print out these pictures and put them up somewhere. I don't know where.
We'll share them on the Insta because they are so, so funny and it's good.
It's really cute. Are these from this kid's Instagram?
Oh, I should check that. I think these are sourced from BuzzFeed, but I'm sure it. Maybe they got them from Instagram. So maybe we could.
They're squares. So I.
Okay. Yeah, that's very possible.
Oh my God. I do want to follow his Instagram because I know. Although
then it's like, let me see. That is true. That's true. I'm always I don't know that my nieces or nephews have an Instagram, but as an uncle, like, I'm steering clear. That's their world and not mine, you know?
Let me see. I don't know anyone who follows him. If there were like four people I knew who followed him, I'd feel more comfortable, but yeah. Oh my God. Oh my God, Andrew. He really is Chris Ryan. His Instagram bio is junior paleontologist.
Oh God. Yeah. This might just be back in time, Chris.
God, he's so cute. Oh, he is in. Okay. He looks so different without the, glasses.
The glasses. I don't know whether he went on to contacts. You know, kids with contacts, I'm like, I don't trust myself with contacts. How am I going to trust a kid?
I know. Oh my God. I don't know. But I really, he's in like a Zooey Deschanel situation where you need the glasses to look like yourself.
Right. Yeah, that is hard. And then, like, pictures of Zooey Deschanel without glasses and without bangs, it's like, that could be virtually anyone to me.
It could be us.
It could be me. Is that me? Anna, did anything spooky happen to you this week?
What spooky happened to me this week? Oh, God. I think it's boring people talk about, I don't know, their TV jobs on podcasts, but we just had a 5-week run of the show that I work on, which is longer than normal. And everyone's brain's falling apart. And I had a bunch of things last night that was like production heavy, where it was just like getting in touch with a lot of different people and like keeping a mental list of people I needed to talk to about different things. And as I woke up from a dream this morning, I started saying out loud to Jason, can you show Mikey
changes? Oh my God.
Not a good sign. I got to go to the rest home, I think, and make my art. But that's, my brain doesn't know that it's over.
Wow.
Which I will frequently on Sundays have things where I'm like, waking up being like, okay, cool. So we did that. So now we know what we need to do. And it's like, no, the show's over.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that happens. I think that's a really common thing when you've had a long, stressful work time and it's like your brain is still in that mode.
It doesn't know.
Also, as we've talked about a lot, like, I think kind of universally, people are having stranger dreams, you know, because there's zero stimuli. Mm-hmm. Which comes up a lot. But yeah, I hope maybe now with some rest, maybe you'll get back to like non-work related dreams, but ones that aren't traumatic too, you know?
Oh, I'm down for anything. I haven't had like nightmares in a while, which is kind of nice. Just like things that are signs of my brain slowly turning into a liquid and falling out of my nose. Andrew, did anything scary happen to you this week?
This has been a very spooky week. So first, a spooky cute thing is that speaking of Tailypo, my brother Pete sent me a video of our niece who is obsessed with the story Tailypo, and she can't yet read, but she is reading along with the book and like remembering what each part is, which is very, very cute. But the thing is, she is telling it to him as though this is something that happened to her friend. She's like it's in a tone that's like, his three dogs are gone and he can't find him, and that he keeps calling for them and they're not coming back. But the creature's there again, and the creature's asking for the tail back. And it's very, very cute, very sweet.
It's like, well, you know, they're obviously not married anymore, but they're together. You know, like they're with the kids, and like they sleep in the same bed because they only have a two bedroom.
Yeah,
so it's like. Is that a marriage or not?
He proposed to her at someone else's wedding. Like that, like that's
it just very like it, that kind of thing. Like, I'm not saying that that's bad. I'm just saying there are like things of that nature. Hi, Ladybird.
And so that's the cute, spooky thing. A real spooky thing that's happening is I keep hearing Chris's voice when he hasn't said anything.
Oh,
this has now happened multiple times of me being like, one of them was not just like, there's the occasional one where I'm like, what? And he's like, I didn't say anything. But then one time I asked him, I called and said, do you want, like, there's this like burger restaurant that we like. And so we're like, do you want like burgers tonight? And I heard him say, yes. And I said, you want your same order as usual? And I heard him say, uh-huh. And then I ordered. And then the food came and he was like, what? And I know that he didn't just forget. It really is very unsettling to me.
Oh my God. That's so crazy.
I'm wondering if my neighbor is messing with me.
You do have a new neighbor.
I do have a new neighbor who likes to sing a lot. We have not yet met, but they seem
very... Andrew, you don't know that he likes to sing. All you know is that he does it so much.
That's true.
Maybe
that is true.
He hates it.
Wow. I think about that. Did I ever tell you about when Chris and I first moved in here and our old neighbor, who's a really nice guy, and who is British and like a handsome looking person, Chris met him for the first time and our friend Emily Schmidt was over. This was years ago when we first moved here, and our neighbor was like, oh, I was friends with the people who used to live in your apartment, and I have a copy of your key. So let me get it for you. And Chris said, oh, no, that's okay. Like, you can hold on to it. Just because he was in a haze of meeting an attractive person with a British accent. and then Chris came back in and was like, was that strange of me to do? And then Emily said, you gave your key to a stranger.
Deeply Emily.
Very much Emily.
Oh my God, that's so funny. Yeah, Chris, you're wrong.
If you have a British accent, just know Chris will give you the keys to his home, to be clear.
And this is pre-pandemic. I feel like there's going to be a lot more people giving their keys to British people post-pandemic.
I know. In fact, I think Americans are more trustworthy of British people, but if you watch a couple British true crime movies, you'll realize we're all of the same cloth, you know?
Their police don't even have guns.
Well, Anna, thank you for letting me read this not so classic, but still worth revisiting story.
Andrew, it's always a pleasure to hear you read these stories that are crazy.
And everybody else,
get out.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Scary Stories to Tell on the Pod is executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. Produced by Tracy Soren. Original theme music by Chris Ryan. Cover art by Bats Langley. To listen to this podcast ad-free, sign up for Forever Dog Plus at foreverdogpodcasts.com/plus. Check out video clips of our podcasts on YouTube at youtube.com/foreverdogteam. And make sure to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook @foreverdogteam to keep up with all the latest Forever Dog news.